Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I'm having a pretty good week down here in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, just north of Charleston, and I hope you're having a good week. I think a lot of people are having a good week. One person that is not having a good week is our president, Donald Trump, definitely not having a good week. So I shared something on the Facebook page the other day. Ann Coulter, who is a firebrand, obviously a lightning rod in many ways, but she was a very outspoken supporter of Donald Trump all throughout, not just the general election, but in the primary too. And I shared a story. Ann Coulter was interviewed on Sunday by the Daily Caller, and of course, some people ran with it. And as is often the case, on especially on social media, if you see a story you don't like, perhaps attacking or degrading somebody or something that you do like, are instantaneous responses to claim fake news. So I had all these people on the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A radio, where you can join us by Facebook Live right now on my parents' screen porch, because this is like uber high professional conservative Christian radio, right? So when it says at the beginning of the show, an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, I take the opportunity as often as I'm afforded it to prove that, in fact, I am a pretty ordinary person. And certainly today, as I do the show from my parents' screen porch here just north of Charleston, I'm proving it. But everybody goes fake news, right? You don't like it. And it goes after your guy, perhaps your sacred cow. And we know on Call to Action Radio, there are no sacred cows. So Donald Trump, our president, being one of them. Did I vote for him? Yes, I did. Was I excited to vote for him? No, I wasn't really. I was excited to do my part to build put another brick in the wall, to quote Pink Floyd, to keep Hillary Clinton from getting in. But Donald Trump was never my candidate. Ted Cruz was my candidate. And then and he didn't make it. And Donald Trump, by all kinds of wild circumstances and the permissive will of God, becomes the president of the United States. And so, I'm trying to back him as much as I can and pray for him as often as I can remember. But Ann Coulter was one of those people totally unwavering in her support of Donald Trump. But on Sunday, like I mentioned, with the Daily Caller, and then she even wrote a book, In Trump We Trust, which I don't really like that title, but whatever. That's Ann Coulter. So she's talking to the Daily Caller, and they begin to probe where she's at with her support of President Trump now. So the first question, there's no wall. This is the Daily Caller talking to Ann Coulter. There's no wall, and Obama's amnesties look like they are here to stay. Do you still trust Trump? Ann Coulter said, I'm not very happy with what has happened so far. I guess we have to try to push him to keep his promises. But this isn't North Korea, and if he doesn't keep his promises, I'm out. This is why we voted for him. I think everyone who voted for him knew his personality was grotesque. It was the issue. It was the issues. We were talking about the issues. Yes, there was a lot of wild things about Donald Trump, and you could, and this is me now, not Ann, and you could question a lot of things about his character and his morality, so on and so forth. But I think for most people, it was the issues. For me, it was the Supreme Court, and that was appeared to be a grand slam with Neil Gorsuch getting into the highest court in the land just a few weeks ago. But Ann Coulter goes on to say, I hate to say it, but I agree with every line in my friend Frank Bruni's op-ed in the New York Times today. Where is the great negotiation? Where is the bull in the china shop we wanted? That budget the Republicans pushed through was like a practical joke. Did we win anything? And is this the great negotiator? Daily Caller comes back and said, you said during the election and in columns that if there's no wall, it's the end of America. Ann says, Trump was our last shot. I kind of thought it was Romney. And then lo and behold, like a miracle, Trump comes along. I still believe in Trumpism. I have no regrets for ferociously supporting him. What choice do we have? We had no choice. Yeah, I mean, my fingers are still crossed. It's not like I'm out yet. But boy, things don't look good. I've said to other people, it's as if we're in Chicago and Trump tells us he's going to get us to L.A. in 6 days. But for the first 3 days, we are driving towards New York. Yes, it is true. He can still turn it around and get us to L.A. in 3 days, but I'm a little nervous. So she goes on and on talking about how she's is she going to apologize to the Never Trumpers, this, that, and the other thing. I don't think Ann Coulter is ever going to apologize to anybody, especially on a public level. But But that's the deal now. So now you've got story after story after story, and you have what's going on in D.C., and he's about to hit the bricks, right? He's off to the Middle East and to Europe for several different meetings there. He was speaking today to the United States Coast Guard Academy graduates. Here's some things he said, and then he gets into a comment, and then I want to open the phones for you guys. Are you nervous? How are you dealing with, especially if you're a Trump supporter, how are you dealing with this week that he's having? And these, it tends to happen every week. There's another controversy. I think one of the difficulties that Donald Trump, we should have expected he would have, is all of a sudden he's going from the empire of Trump, where he is the final arbiter of all that is good and true and right, and his name's on the building, and that's the end of the story and the end of the conversation. Did he hire a lot of smart people? Did he surround himself with a lot of smart executives? Of course he did. He has to, like any professional business person. But in the end, the buck stopped with Donald Trump. Now you move a guy like that into the White House. You move him to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You move him into a representative form of government split into three branches, where each branch is there to check and balance the others. And it doesn't matter that his name is on the White House stationery. He's got two other branches of government to deal with now. And so this is a whole new paradigm for one Donald J. Trump. And I'm certainly still at the point where it's going to take him a while, I think, to get used to this. And will he ever completely conform to this normal process between the branches? I don't think so. I think that would be asking too much of who he is. But does he need to do better? I think certainly he does. And we see that this week with the whole issue about what he said to the Russian diplomats in the Oval Office. And then the Mattis comes out, who's by both sides of the media appears to be the most trustworthy guy in the administration. Both sides of the media, the Republicans, the Democrats, the conservatives, the liberals, all talk about Mattis in very glowing terms. But all of a sudden, he gave a very measured response both on Monday and on Tuesday to what's going on with the president and these comments. And is that a misstep that you're willing to overlook? Is it something deeper? Is it a guy who refuses to play by the rules, because the only rules he really had to play by for years were his own? So are you worried now about Donald Trump's presidency? Where are you landing on this? What are you thinking? I'd love to hear from you today. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Lots of stories on this issue, plus my comments when we come back right after this.
Searching for something, something never comes, never leads to nothing, nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close, closer to the prize at the end of the rope.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, coming to you live from the Charleston, South Carolina area, talking about Donald Trump having a tough week. What do you think? If you're a Trump supporter, is your support wavering? Are you concerned? Do you have some concerns about Donald Trump? And I was just talking over the break with our Facebook Live friends. Listen, constitutionally, the president has ultimate authority over what's classified and what isn't. He could walk into the middle of an MTV set and unclassify information if he wants to, but would that be smart? That's the question. It's kind of like Paul in the New Testament talks about, hey, listen, all things are allowable. You have all kinds of freedom as a follower of Christ, but is every move smart? Is it a good thing to do? Is it wise? If it's allowable, it doesn't necessarily mean it's wise, right? So I think that's a question we have to ask about our president. He has all kinds of business acumen. There's no question about it. Is he a good leader? In some ways, I think so. In other ways, I think not. But does this, what's happening right now, in his discernment or lack thereof, or perhaps people in the White House are telling him things and he's not listening? I read several articles in the last 24 hours that said some people in his administration, and this is all hearsay for the most part, right? This is all leaked information. It's unnamed sources. And how much can you trust an unnamed source? About as far as you can throw them if you can find them, right? So we all have to slow down and chill out a little bit. Do not be controlled by the frenzy of the media, mainstream media, left media, right media, social media, whatever. We cannot be controlled by the media in terms of our reaction to things. So the question here is, did he have the constitutional right to declassify things and share it with Russian diplomats? Absolutely, he did. He can do it anytime he wants. Any president can. That's constitutional. He has that right. Was it right to do? Was it smart to do? So some of the articles I read are saying people within the administration are leaking things because he won't listen to his advisors. And so the only way to get it out there and force him to maybe do a course correction is to leak it to the press. So now it comes out into the public, and now he's got to deal with public pressure. So is that true? I don't know. Can we trust the articles or the unnamed sources? I don't know. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can't. That's why we have to have discernment and especially patience. And by the way, regardless of where you're at on Donald Trump, this administration, right, left, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, if you struggle with the things that I struggle with, and you get mad, you get angry, you start castigating, you're going after the media, yada, yada, yada. If you're going after the president, he makes you sick to your stomach, and you're a Christ follower, and you say that you believe the scriptures and that you're trying to follow God's word, but we do not pray for those in authority over us, then do we really expect God to bless our disobedience? So whether you like him or not, you're called to pray for him. Listen, I didn't like President Obama. I prayed for him regularly. Very few Christians, including pastors that I met over the last 8 years, prayed for him hardly ever. And so you don't just get to pray for the ones that you like. If you want to go back to biblical terminology, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who are against you. Pray for your enemies. The Roman soldier says, go with me a mile, you go too. He says, let me have your tunic, you give him your cloak also. You also kind of go one step further. You seek peace and you pursue it. And pray for the president, whether you like him or not, whether you're pleased with what he's doing or not. The more you study, and like I've mentioned to you many, many times on the air, as I've taught students, high school age homeschoolers in Raleigh, North Carolina, now just finished my fifth year doing it, the Constitution and Civics, the more they learn about the stress and the pressures and the demands on not just the president, but everybody in the system, everybody in the federal and state and local system, the more they learn about how difficult it is to govern on a federal level, on a state level, on a local level, the more it makes sense to them, as it should to all of us, that we need to pray for those in authority over us. God doesn't, he didn't say that command because, I don't know, I got to give him something else to do. Hey, Gabriel, give me an idea. What? Give me something else I can lay on these guys. Oh, I don't know, Lord. Make them pray for people in authority over him. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Let's slap that one in there. Hey, Paul, make sure you insert that one into your next letter. Okay, buddy, put that in there. No, he calls on us to do it because government is instituted ultimately by the Lord, because otherwise we would have chaos because of our depravity. And so he calls for us to pray for those in authority over us. Imagine what that was like for Paul to write. This is at a time when Paul's writing it that Nero is the Caesar, the emperor over Rome, and he uses Christians as tiki torches in his gardens at night, right? Total slaughter of Christians, wholesale slaughter of Christians. And that's the guy Paul's calling on Christians to pray for? So just a little reminder. Let me get off my soapbox there and get back to talking about Donald Trump. But if you want to weigh in today on what you're thinking about our president and where we're at, feel free to give me a call. I'd love to have you share your opinions on the air with the rest of us and give us food for thought. And everybody's opinion has some merit. So if you want to work through it, ask a question, talk through it, just share where you're at. That would be great. I'd appreciate it. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. If you voted for Donald Trump, are you worried? Are you concerned? Or do you think it's a little early in the game? Yeah, we need to be concerned. We need to keep praying for him. And yeah, this is serious. I think this stuff needs to get corrected, but I'm willing to withhold ultimate judgment for now. So he was talking, like I mentioned earlier, in front of the United States Coast Guard Academy graduates. Here's what he said. Over the course of your life, you will find that things are not always fair. You will find that things happen to you that you do not deserve and that are not always warranted, but you have to put your head down and fight, fight, fight. Trump urged the cadets to never, never, never give up because things will work out just fine. He is definitely an optimist. It's interesting to watch him go down that road. The president then offered an example from his own personal experience. Look at the way I have been treated lately, especially by the media, Trump said, repeating a line he recited frequently on the campaign trail. The president then declared that no other politician has ever received such negative treatment from the media. Now, those are the types of statements for me, because I'm such a skeptic at this point. I'm like, come on, no other politician has ever received such negative treatment from the media. You could go back and look at presidential campaigns from the past. I'm talking about the 1800s. And the things that were said about presidential candidates in the past and the things they alleged about each other regularly was brutal. I mean, brutal. Your bastard child, this, that, and the other. It's crazy. You go look that up. So this is what he said. Here's the direct quote. No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly, Trump said. You can't let them get you down. You can't let the critics and the naysayers get in the way of your dreams. I appreciate that kind of comment. Make America Great Again hats all over the place, cheered and applauded the line, right? So that's what he's talking about out there. And That's just part of the Trumpism. That's part of how he operates. So I set that stuff aside because he's a bombastic communicator, okay? He fights fire with fire. He treats the media like the media treats everybody else for the most part. And he just comes out and says things. He's, again, because he's lived in this Trump empire world for a while, that's just the way he operates. So I tend to set a lot of those things aside. Is that conduct unbecoming a sitting president of the United States? I think you could make that case. But does that mean that the president's incapable of doing his job because he may be obnoxious? There's been lots of obnoxious presidents in the past. But does Donald Trump take it to a whole new level? I think so. But we also have a hypersensitive media and we have access to everything pretty much on a moment's notice. So what do you guys think? What, are you concerned at all with Donald Trump on Facebook Live? Some people are saying, hey, Catherine said, I hope he can learn to rise above and stay focused on the work to be done for our country and our citizens. But his strength displayed with Syria and China has brought us back from that leading from behind thing to the you're making a reference to the previous president. And that's true. There's been some great things with China. All of a sudden, China getting involved in North Korea and China allowing imports of our cattle and some of our iron. That hasn't happened in years, if not decades. So you got to give him some credit there. But the whole national security issue, are you concerned? Is it a big deal? Are we shooting first and asking questions second? I'll read from several other articles. Share some more from Facebook Live and want to hear from you as well. 866-34-TRUTH is the number. 866-348-7884. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you again. And talking about Donald Trump's week, he's not having a great one. He's getting out of town, which is probably a good idea. And he's going to take off, and he's got looking for kind of a reset, probably. He's got a really ambitious foreign trip. He's going to the Middle East. I was listening the other day when there were some of the press conferences going on, and McMaster, who I was trying to reference at the beginning of the show, the U.S. National Security Advisor, was going over President Trump's upcoming trip and all the different meetings and the lunches and the dinners, and he's going to be all over the place. Really an ambitious trip. Saudi Arabia, he's going to Israel, he's going to the Vatican. Now, he's doing that. That's very smart. He's reaching out to the three biggest religious groups on the planet, right? So he's going to be talking to the Muslims, he's going to be talking to the Catholics, and he's going to be talking to the Jews in Israel. And so he's trying to promote, you know, kind of a little bit of the Rodney King thing. Can't we all get along? But the thing that I'm really appreciating about this trip is that he's going to promote and push and challenge the Muslim world to consider, hey, can't you guys start to push back and advocate for a more moderate version of Islam? Now, if I'm going to get right down to the nitty gritty here, what is a moderate Muslim? I think a moderate Muslim is an ignorant Muslim. And I know that sounds ugly, but if you read the book and follow the man being Muhammad, you will end up much like ISIS, if not worse. And so are there moderate Muslims? Absolutely. And that's because they're not giving themselves over wholeheartedly to following the man and reading the book. But I appreciate that he's out there saying that. We haven't heard that too much, pushing the Muslim world to kind of clean its own house a little bit. So we'll see. He definitely needs this trip. But are you concerned about what's going on right now? Are you losing some of your hope or your faith or your trust in our sitting president, Donald J. Trump? 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go in, take a call from, I think this is probably my friend Cindy in Raleigh. Cindy, how are you?
Good. How are you? Good program.
I'm doing good. Thanks for calling in. So, you know, you and I have known each other for several years. You're a Trump supporter. What do you think about what's going on here lately in the news and the administration?
I think these people are pedantic. I just can't imagine how they can go to bed at night and feel good about themselves. I mean, this level of hysteria is embarrassing. And the fact that they're focusing on the tiniest little slip of the tongue or inference and turning that into this unbelievable witch hunt that's going to lead to impeachment is beyond delusional. It's frightening. It's frightening the level of hysteria and the way that they're all together with the same talking points, making the same statements, and whipping people into a frenzy. I mean, they really ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, and I think that's a point, and it reminds me, Cindy, of when Paul, in the New Testament, Paul on one of his missionary journeys, I think it's in the book of Acts, and he's talking about there's a big riot in the city, and they notice that a bunch of people in the riot don't even know why they're there. It's just a riot in the city, and they all jump along. And I think, and do you agree? This type of hysteria, are there serious issues to discuss? Absolutely. But the hysteria that is being fomented by the media coverage is not good for the country at all, right or left. What do you think about that?
I completely agree. And the whole concept of useful idiots, I mean, the media is counting on the people to be the useful idiots, the people that don't know the issues, that aren't looking at the bigger picture. There are so many more pressing issues going on than whether or not Trump said in a very casual way, hey, look, can you see your way past this thing? You know, Mike Flynn is a good guy. If you remember where Donald Trump came from, he's a business guy. He's not a politician. He doesn't speak the Washingtonese. He's not weighing every single possible word because he's thinking about how this might play in the media, how this might be misquoted. He's just speaking like normal people would speak. You and I could easily see ourselves saying something as simple as what he said. Hey, my friend's a good guy. Could you see your way past this one day? That doesn't mean anything about I'm trying to intimidate you. If we simply to say he was the president, he knew what he was doing, what about James Comey? He's the director of the FBI. If he thought that Trump was trying to impede justice and do something that was untoward, why didn't he then do something about it? Why didn't he then say something to someone else? That's his job. He's the director of the FBI. If he thinks Donald Trump has broken a law, why does he wait until 3 days after he's fired to come out with, hey, I spoke into a microphone. Hey, I kept detailed notes.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Cindy, thanks as always for calling in and sharing today. And it's really crazy. I mean, Comey, to me, should have been fired earlier because he became a political figure last year. And then he's just a political football getting bopped back and forth. And now when there's too much politics involved and the media involved and you got it in a presidential campaign and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump on one side and the other, and you got the FBI director smack dab in the middle of all that, that's bad for FBI business. It's bad for national security. It's bad for the executive branch. It's bad for the government in general, which means it's bad for the country. And as soon as that happened, you just need to be able to do your job as the director of the FBI, and he's out. But now this intrigue and this frenzy just going crazy all over the place. And I agree with Cindy. I mean, listen, can a president speak as casually as a business owner? No, they can't. Because it's a different game. So it's a different set of rules. Should there be some leniency there? Absolutely. Is there a learning curve? Absolutely. Now they've got reports the other country is saying they're probably not going to share intelligence with us anymore. Then the other report says, hey, the other country, I think, is Israel. Do you really think Israel is going to turn around in the next 7 days and cut off diplomatic relations and national security relations with their number one supporter on the planet? Of course they aren't. Now, behind closed doors, they might say, hey, Mr. President, hey, next time, keep those cards a little closer to your chest, okay? But now the problem is, with the media, every little thing is scrutinized, which, listen, there's people in place. I think he's got some great people around him, and we can't fall into the trap, because it's going to be everything goes under a microscope. And when everything goes under a microscope, nobody's going to be able to stand up to that kind of scrutiny, but there are some legitimate concerns on the national security side, but I think you have to give it some time to work out and not sow into the frenzy and read and educate yourself. And we got to give the system some time to work. He was talking about a national security threat, which is very real. Laptop computers being turned into bombs on airliners. And we talk about those things with Russia and a lot of other countries. So it's going to shake out. But the media frenzy is just crazy. 866-348-7884. Is this causing you to pull back a little bit on your support of the president? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mark, who's calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina. Mark, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling today. Go ahead.
Thanks for calling. I think Trump supporters have to be honest with themselves and recognize that they might have voted in somebody who is not capable of the seat of the presidency. If you just kind of consider how he tweets uncontrollably and the kind of things he says that he shouldn't make public just because he has access to Twitter. And, you know, you have to admit that the standard of what the presidency represents has been set incredibly low ever since Trump came into the picture.
Well, let me ask you this question, Mark.
Sure.
How would you feel about a president if they took a cane and beat the tar out of a member of Congress out on the steps of the Capitol? How would you feel about that?
That would be ridiculous.
Do Did you know that that actually happened?
No. When did it happen?
Theodore Roosevelt beat the tar out of a sitting U.S. senator with a cane on the Capitol step. So, and the reason I'm bringing that up and challenging you on it, and I appreciate you calling in today, Mark, and sharing that, is who's going to be the arbiter of what's acceptable behavior on behalf of a president? Because you get into the Constitution and you get into the Article 1 and start talking about the legislative branch, and Article 2, the executive branch, and Article 3, the judicial branch, there isn't some label in there about decorum. We've had presidents that have been very, very bombastic and in your face. So that's a stylistic thing. The only thing I think we need to be dealing with are these real national security threats where serious mistakes made that can be corrected in the bell curve or the learning curve of the job with a bombastic guy. But to say that his bombastic style is necessarily wrong, that's part of the reason he got elected. Because he's outside of playing politics as usual. He's outside of being really guarded with what he says. And should the president of the United States not be able to use social media to communicate with the people across the country? It's unfettered access to the people. It doesn't go through Fox. It doesn't go through CNN. It doesn't go through MSNBC. I may not like the way he communicates, and oftentimes I don't, but I think he has every right to communicate that way like anybody else. And that gives him, especially if you're going to be more on the conservative or Republican side, where he doesn't have a lot of friends in the media, whereas Barack Obama did, if you want to get your message out unfiltered, and unguarded by other people, especially media resources, I think Twitter's a great way to do it, and I appreciate that he can. I would not take that away from any president, just like I wouldn't take it away from any citizen. Let's go to Sarah, who's calling in from Raleigh. Sarah, you're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I wanted to address the earlier point from the speech he gave, saying that nobody had been attacked like he has with the media. And I just want to say that's totally true. We've never had technology like it is today.
Right.
We're international, and Twitter didn't even exist. I would say Judge George W. Bush was hit by the media the most, but I think even iPhones didn't exist then. I mean, not only is it just instantaneous, but you've got it on your phone, you've got it on the TV, and
that's
I think he had. And then when you look at what has not been covered, Benghazi, Clinton on the tarmac, the Hillary email,
the other things,
and the unmasking, and then Comey.
Yeah, I'm up against a break, Sarah. I'm up against a break. I got to let you go against a hard break. But that's a great point. We haven't had this kind of technology, this kind of scrutiny. And is it being used fairly? Definitely not. Hope in the government. Welcome back, everybody. Okay, it's not very healthy for us to be in this frenzy. So one thing that we can do, I wanted to mention MediShare to you again, and then we'll get back to our busy phone lines today. Talking about Donald Trump, have you lost some confidence in the president after everything that's happened in the last week? And some concerns about national security, and what does he declassify, and who does he say it to, and all of that kind of stuff that we're hearing. And then the impeachment talk, which is ridiculous at this point. I mean, it's we shoot first and ask questions second. We need to calm down and breathe. It's not healthy for the country. It's not healthy for us. And so speaking of health, one thing that is definitely good for your health that I want you to check out if you haven't already is my friends over at MediShare. MediShare has been around since 1993, and have shared over $1 billion in healthcare costs. Other Christians around the country, over 200,000 Christian families around the country have been helping one another pay for their major medical expenses. It's about a third, in most cases, a third of what it would cost you for regular health insurance. So you end up saving a ton of money on that. And with that money, now you manage your healthcare. We, like the Noble family, we've been MediShare customers, partners for 5 years now. And we save so much money by not buying regular health insurance, which, by the way, gets us around all the Obamacare mandates. We don't have to pay for things that we know are not pleasing to the Lord, like abortion or abortifacients. And so it got us out of that mess. We saved a ton of money. And our cash flow, now we start to deal with our health, our well care. Okay, so like regular visits to the doctor, things like that. We cover ourselves, but we're saving so much money by being MediShare partners that we have control of those costs now. And I tell you what, you want a really interesting and invigorating experience, go to a doctor for a regular kind of procedure. Like I've had to deal with some of my skin cancer issues. Basal cell, it's not the kind that kills you, but you got to deal with it. Some of the skin cancer issues. And I'm in there going, okay, let's figure out a price. And you actually negotiate a price. And it's like it's mind-boggling because in one case, if they were going to charge Blue Cross Blue Shield like $6,000, and I wrote a check for $1,900. So, yeah, am I spending money? Sure I am. But I'm still, as a family, we're way ahead of where we would be with regular health insurance. So I want you to check out MediShare. I believe that you will find it to be a big blessing for you and your family. It's a great alternative, and it's a great example of Christian living. 855-BIBLE-11 is their phone number. 855-BIBLE-11, now available in Montana. Give my friends at MediShare a call. 855-BIBLE-11. By the way, in the next week or two, we'll have Ted Squires on, who's the CEO of MediShare. We're also going to have some great testimonies from families that have been through really, really difficult medical circumstances and have experienced MediShare with having other Christians around the country help pay for their health care in these major, major medical situations they were in. So I'm looking forward to those shows. Those will be great testimonies. Let's get back to our phones. Let's go to Richard, who's calling in from Wake Forest. Oh, I lost you there, Richard. Let me go to Rick, who's calling in from Greensboro. Rick, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Steve. My comments are, I just say the double standard of the media as far as how they're treating. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
Sound like a double feed there. But anyway, the way, you know, 8 years ago when President Obama was elected, the way they treated him with softball questions and interviews like what's your favorite color and where you're going to vacation next time versus how the hostility towards this president, especially at such a divided time when we really need to be more supportive. I know he's far from a perfect man, but it sort of reminds me of those characters that were attacking Nehemiah, Sanballat, and whoever in the Old Testament
right.
when they were trying to rebuild the wall. Of course, obviously, Trump is no Nehemiah, but still, to give the guy a break, you know, and the double standard. Look in our own state of North Carolina, how when McCrory was elected 4 years ago, all of a sudden the big media outlets in our state, Greensboro paper, the Raleigh paper, the Charlotte paper, started watching his administration with a fine-tooth comb. And yet go back to, say, the Jim Hunt era when we were sliding downhill in education, and yet they called him the education governor. And then you get Jim Martin in for 4 years, and they, again, turn the guns on a conservative Republican. So I'd say the standard is ridiculous, and it's very unfair. Obviously, I want to know the truth, but I've seen the double standard so often in twisting. So that's my
Yeah, that's a great point, Rick, and thanks for calling in today. If you want to share your thoughts on the Donald Trump presidency at this point and what's going on with the media and what just happened with the national security issues and the White House, 866-348-7884. Still have time for a few more calls. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Brandon on Facebook Live made a great point. He said, we are asked to make decisions on the spot without all the information needed to form them. I want to wait for the emotional lull and then respond. Emotions never last. Truth does. Then you have a sin problem of pride within people that will not allow them to correct themselves who want to rush to judgment. That's a great point, Brandon, and that's what we see out there. And so you have to go, okay, we all have to do this. We have to check what we share on social media. And just because you agree with the thrust of the article or with the title of the article or the thrust of the commentary, don't assume that it's true. We have to check our own flesh at the door, too. There's sometimes that I'm like, man, I want to share this. But what I really want to do is hit back. Then I have to stop and go, okay, is this? Can I even verify this? And by the way, who wrote the article? Have you ever stopped and read an article that makes you feel good because you agree with the point. Have you ever stopped and looked up the author or some crazy assertion made by an author or a blogger or whoever, because every Tom, Dick, and Harry now is a member of the media, and stop and look the person up. See what their preconceived notions are like. See what their presuppositions. Where are they from? What do they believe? Where were they educated? Because you're going to find that a lot of these articles, you can write them off based on the author. You just go, okay, well, this is the witch hunt, so I'm not going to listen to this. But we have to be really, really careful with all of this, especially as the media. And somebody else mentioned this on Facebook Live, where their job used to be inform. Now it sure seems like their job is to incite one direction or another. But obviously, with the most of the media being left-leaning, they're inciting this, and it's one story after another. But listen, Fox isn't necessarily out of that stream. They throw stuff up there super fast, too, because, again, if it bleeds, it leads. They're all fighting for advertising dollars, and it's a big battle of the giants in the media world. And so they're trying to get stuff out there. And the more salacious it is, that's called clickbait. The more salacious it is, the more crazy the headline, the more likely you are to click on it. Then you're going to see their advertising. So you got to remember, everybody's selling everything. And again, and I thought that was a great point that Cindy made. And Sarah was making that point about Comey, too. If Comey felt like the president of the United States was doing something illegal, if you're just a man doing your job and it's all about principles, you would deal with that immediately. that was illegal. You can't do that. Boom. That's how the justice is supposed to work. It's supposed to be blind. It doesn't matter who's breaking the law. If you're in law enforcement, you see somebody breaking the law, regardless if it's your friend, your boss, an insubordinate person, it doesn't matter. You deal with it. So that's why for Comey, I lost trust in him a long time ago, and I think it was right for the president to fire him. By the way, there was no way that wasn't going to go, that was ever going to go smoothly. Whether it was on January 20th, February 15th, or in the last 2 weeks, there was going to be a maelstrom and a firestorm about Comey getting fired. Let's go to Val, who's calling in from Greensboro. Val, you're on with Steve. Go ahead. Can you turn your radio down in the background too?
I don't have a radio on.
Okay, I just have a bad connection. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Steve. Well, I was just going to address the previous caller who basically said that Obama did not get the same type of media exposure. But Donald Trump is getting the same type of exposure that Obama received, and especially from him. And the Bible says God should not be mocked, and you will reap what you sow. And the way that Donald Trump really just downgraded President Obama at the time was really ridiculous. So now Donald Trump is just now reaping some of the things that he's sown. And I think we need to just address that and accept it. Another thing, when you are a president, you cannot have thin skin. You just cannot. So you roll with the punches. And far as his language, no, he is not a professional. And people who voted for him knew that when they voted for him. It's like the snake in your pocket. You knew I was a snake before you voted for me.
Well, so yeah. I appreciate some of the points you're making, Val, and thanks for calling in. You know, on the first one, I disagree with you on that one because most of the media, and this is true, you can go look this up about who votes for whom. You can go look it up in academia. You can go study it at the college level. It's documented. It's over like 90%. Of professors across academia at that level, college and master's and PhD, are liberal people that vote Democrat. So are they going to be leaning that way? Absolutely. The majority of the media leans left. And so your point that Barack Obama got blitzed as much as Trump is getting blitzed now, I don't agree with that because the majority of the media today is left-leaning. So they're not going to hammer Barack Obama as much as they hammer Donald Trump or any other Republican or conservative because they're human beings who have a bias. And that's the deal we have now. It's not so much journalism, it's commentary. And everybody, even ABC News, NBC News, they call it news. It's mostly commentary. Fox News does it too. Fair and balanced becomes commentary. But I think when you look at the liberal slant of the media, there's no question they're going to pull out bigger guns and stronger microscopes and use them against somebody that's a conservative than somebody that's a liberal. You saw that with Hillary and Benghazi and all of that. You saw that with Barack Obama. But is there as much attention? Just in terms of media attention, the amount of media, yeah, that's a constant. That's fixed. That's not going to change. It's only going to get worse. But in terms of how it's leaning, there's no question that it leans left. So Donald Trump's going to get hit far harder with negative media, negative commentary, negative assertions than Barack Obama would from the same source. But yeah, being thick-skinned, I agree with you there. The president of the United States, hey, listen, you're gonna take on the job of the most powerful person on the planet. You better be thick-skinned. And I get a little sick of that, too. I get a little sick of Donald, because to me it seems like a little bit of whining, but he has to hit back. But how does he hit back? How does he choose his words? Listen, it's easy for me to be an armchair quarterback. I'm not sitting in his seat. That's the most difficult job on the planet. So let's make sure, whether you like him or not, that you're praying for him, because he definitely needs our prayers. But I think all of us need to learn from this. Don't let the media incite you into a frenzy, an emotional frenzy, an intellectual frenzy. If you're a follower of Christ, self-control and peace should be at the head of the line as we deal with these very difficult things. Make sure you're praying for the president. I think we need to give him some room to learn and to improve. And let's remember God is in control. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.